We are going to be finishing up Job chapter 12 this evening. I don't know about you, but I told you before, I'm one of those people that can't just read a story all the way through chronologically. You gotta skip ahead to the end and check it out, you know. So I've been doing some of that, and boy, what a study! And listen, there are so many things to look at tonight. We're just going to focus on the power of our God tonight, the power of our God, and it's that simple. But Job spends several verses here, about 12 of them or so, just talking about the power of our great God. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you would, please, if you're physically able. Job chapter 12, I'm going to be reading verses 14 through 25, and we'll look at these verses tonight. Verse 14, it says, "Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leadeth counselors away spoiled, and maketh the judges fools. He looseth the bond of kings. He girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled, and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty, and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes, and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth the deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadows of death. He increaseth the nations, and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations, and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth, and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the darkness without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man." We know that all wisdom is from God, right? We talked about that last time as we looked at verse 12, and he said, "With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength, he hath counsel and understanding." And so we know that the ancients of this world have wisdom and understanding, but in verse 13, Job switches gears, and now he's talking about God, and he says God is wisdom in strength. He's the one that has counsel. He's the one that has understanding. And what he's trying to promote to his friends, he's like, look, there are people that have experienced more about God than you or I have. And by the way, that's a truth. Okay? We only have a short lifetime, and listen, life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. We don't know how many years we are going to get. Some may get only 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90. We don't know how many. Some only get a half, you know, several dozen, or maybe some pass away as children. You understand there's no requirement. You know, there's no quota to meet, if you will, and we just don't know. Even if we were to get 90, 100, 110 years of life, which would be phenomenal, right? That's outstanding. That's above measure. Because it's, what is the span of life for a typical human being? 70, right? 60, 70, 80, by reason of strength, you know? All those things that it talks about, that's still a long time, okay? I can say that because I'm you know, getting closer to 50, all right? And I know some of you are over 50, and that's okay. And some are approaching 100. Miss June back there, she's getting close. Yeah, amen, I'm for it. And I want a big old piece of the cake for the 100th birthday cake, Miss June. When you get there, amen. But however long we get, we still don't know all about God that we can know, because it's such a short window that we get to experience. So Job is saying here, look, let me tell you about my God, His wisdom, His strength, His omnipotence, His sovereignty, His power, His divine control. God is the ultimate being. Some people gain wisdom as they live, you know, their many years, but God never grows old. He never grows weak. He is wisdom, right? He is understanding. He is knowledge. He is God. God is the source of knowledge. That's why he keeps saying to us that we need to consume this book because it's what God has given us to know. And by the way, I do teach this as a teacher. We do need to limit the knowledge that we give out. You know, you don't give a kid in kindergarten a physics book, right? And start telling them principles I just lost the word I wanted to put in there. Theories. Thank you. That's one. Another one was the math problems. What they're called? Equations and the formulas. That's the word I was looking for. Okay. It was skipping my head. Just gone. The formulas to, you know, figure things out. You know, you don't give that to a kindergartner. All right? You're keeping back some things for people. Yes. Yes, we are. By the way, because they can't handle it. So, you know, it would be a waste of time, if you will. But folks, you have to realize there are volumes of things that we don't even know about. And yet we want to say, or by the way, yet Job's friends want to say, Job, we know God. We know how he deals with mankind. But guys, you don't know hardly any of it. And Job is just trying to plead the case because he's tired of his friends beating up on him. And he says, guys, I do know God. And I know him maybe better than you, but I still don't know him like the ancients knew him and like he really is. So he says, let me tell you about this God of mine. He says, with him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down and it cannot be built again. Okay, so he's building a case here. He says, look, God breaks these things down, and if he doesn't want them to be rebuilt, then they won't be rebuilt. And if he wants them to be rebuilt, they will be rebuilt. And so he's giving credit to God that God has the power to do these things, and God also has the sovereignty to choose them or not. By the way, God has that right, doesn't he? Okay? So then he says, it says here that he shutteth up a man and there can be no opening. Well, gee, that about does it, doesn't it? I mean, that means God can, if you will, shut us down or shut us up so that we cannot be opened. Folks, Do you understand that God controls our very existence? We could be gone today. We just heard something about that. And with Andrew's friend, it shouldn't be the case that a 20-something, or maybe he wasn't even 20, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, these kids are going to, it seems like they're going to college earlier and earlier, you know? But we don't know how long we have. And you say, well, it's just not fair that God would do that. Who's to say what's fair with God? He's God. He knows. He knows our frame. He knows our time. And he says there can be no opening. He says, behold, he withholdeth the waters. By the way, what's stopping there from being another flood like there was in the Old Testament? Just God and his promise. That's all. You know, and you know, I know for a fact it was a universal flood. Okay, it covered the whole earth. It was not just a regional flood, like some try to say. Okay, this thing was worldwide. Who's to say that can't happen again? God, and he's the only one. He says, and they dry up. Also, he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. Now, is there flooding at times? Yes. And what does it do? Overturns the earth. But that's under the control of God. You know, we have enjoyed this stretch here of just picture perfect, beautiful weather. Okay, and I'm giving God all the credit for this, okay? Because he wants to. And that's wonderful. But you know, we could have buckets and buckets of rain for days and days and days and days and days. Who does that? God does. I mean, you just think about it. Over the 4th of July, even here in Texas, down in South Texas, with all that flooding and all that tragedy down there, that happens. Okay? And so you understand that God in his sovereignty, you say, why would God do that to all those people? Listen, I am not here to tell us why God does these things. We're just here to explain that God does these things of his own accord. Now, I tend to think that as Job is saying these things to his friends, he's beginning to perhaps catch a little bit of a glimpse that God may have some other purpose for what's happening in his life. You see what I'm saying here? Because he's saying, hey guys, God can shut up a man and no one can open it. God can break things down. God can overturn things. God can do these things. And I think he's starting to realize that, look, okay, maybe this is not about sin. Maybe this is not about judgment. Maybe this is just the sovereignty of God, and it's happening in my life. Does God have the power to do that? He sure does. He says here, with verse 16, with him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. Now, hold on to that thought for just a second. Who is the deceiver? Satan. And who are, if you will, the deceived? The lost, right? The children of disobedience. Okay? So you understand that he says here, with him, that's God, is strength and wisdom. It says the deceived and the deceiver are his. Now, I don't think Job knows this just yet, but who was the one that came before God? Who was the one, if you will, that brought this all up? Who is the one that allowed this to take place, right? Could Satan touch Job without God's approval or permission? No. He said so. You have a hedge about him. I can't touch him. God said, go ahead. Right? So, even though the devil, if you will, has been cast out, has been judged, pronounced judgment upon, we're studying in Revelation, right? We're going to be getting to some of these things, talking about the devil and the dragon and the bottomless pit and all these. All these things are coming up, okay? They'll be coming up. And then, of course, everything will be cast into the lake of fire, right? And the beast, the false prophet, the dragon, all, you know, hell and death, all of it. It's all going to end up that way, right? So it says the deceived and the deceiver are his. Even though iniquity was found in Lucifer, if you will, Lucifer is still his. It's all his, folks. It's all his. So we have to understand that Job understands this. Look at verse 17. He says, he leadeth counselors away spoiled and maketh the judges fools. Okay, so counselors and judges are supposed to be respected, right? Knowledgeable people, full of wisdom, full of understanding, full of principles, the knowledge of God, etc., right? It says, he leadeth counselors away spoiled, he maketh the judges fools. That's something that God can do. Because guess what happens sometimes to these judges and counselors in their own conceit, if you will? They become fools. Because they get to be too smart for God. What happened to Solomon? His heart was turned away, right, by all the wives that he had. What happened to Israel and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and all the rulers? They became fools. They were led away spoiled. They were, the judges became fools. Look at verse 18. He says, he looseth the bond of kings. He engirdeth their loins with a girdle. What did Israel ask for? We want a king like other countries have. Right? And God says, oh boy. That's in the Hebrew, by the way. It's not. They had a king. The best king any country could ask for. And yet they wanted a human one. One with frailties. And by the way, Samuel told him, hey, if you get a king, he's going to do these things to you. He's going to take your sons. He's going to take your daughters. He's going to exact this and exact that on you. You sure you want this? Give us a king. Oh, okay, here you go. You get Saul. Started out okay, but then exactly what Samuel said was going to happen, happened. I'm just saying, God is in charge of these things. His power and omnipotence is over all. In verse 19, it says, he leadeth princes away spoiled and overthroweth the mighty. Oh, by the way, let's go back to that one in verse 18. He girdeth their loins with a girdle. God even used secular kings to do his bidding and work. Now, I like to pronounce it Darius, but Darius, however you pronounce it, right? Cyrus, king of Persia, you know, even Nebuchadnezzar, right? He used these kings to do his bidding. So who's in control, them or God? Yeah, God is. He leadeth princes away spoiled and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth the deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadows of death. He increaseth the nations. Listen to that. He increaseth the nations. That's great, right? You're like, yay, we're increased. And destroyeth them. Remember when Israel went down into Egypt? Right? Egypt was in pretty good shape. And they even grew in their wealth and abundance, etc., because of God's people. And after 400 years, what happened? Israel was under the hand or the rule of Egypt, right? And Egypt was extremely wealthy. And then what happened? 10 little plagues and something called an exodus. And what happened when they left? The Bible says they spoiled Egypt. Took it all with them. By the way, the Egyptians gave it to them, saying, go, get out of here. Okay? Now, who can do that? God. God can do that. By the way, if you look at Egypt, or no, not Egypt, if you look at Israel, that happened to them. They grew, when they forgot God, It was taken away. Up and down, up and down, up and down, right? He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. As we finish tonight, just go over to Psalm 107. I have other verses to share with you as well. But just very quickly, just kind of the end of this here. This whole psalm is a wonderful psalm. We're going to pick it up in the 30s here. I want to start in verse 31, because this statement is made several times in this psalm. But it's a great statement, and we'll just kind of just read. I want you to listen to how God deals with the people on this earth as far as his power and sovereignty. Look at verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He says, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. And sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low, through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. By the way, did we just hear that from Job? Okay. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand. Catch this. Now, some of these things were positive, some of these things were negative. But here's how the psalmist ends this particular discourse. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand not just the power of God, the omnipotence of God, the wisdom of God, the things of God. Understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, how many of you expected that word to be there? Not really. But folks, it is God's loving kindness. His sovereignty, his power, his omnipotence, the divine control in our lives is loving kindness. Because God, if you will, doesn't have to care about us at all. But he does. So even when bad things enter into your existence, just know that it's a sign of God's loving kindness. Even if the waters are made into wilderness, it's God's loving kindness. Even if the wilderness is made into waters, it's God's love. Do you see what God does there? God is the one who is in control. And David says, or the psalmist rather, it could be David, says these things will help us understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And I love that not only did he say, whoso is wise, he says, and will observe these things. Job said, guys, I know these things. I'm not inferior to you. He says, who knoweth not such things as these? Guys, we've seen this. It's been recorded in history. The ancients know this stuff. And yet you're accusing me that I'm wicked, that I'm a hypocrite. I must be doing something against God to receive such a judgment from God. But guys, he deals this way with the earth, with the kings, with the seasons, with nature, with the, why can't he do that with me? I think that's Job's cause that he's pleading. But we need to consider our great God, and not only that this is all about his sovereignty and power, but it's about his loving kindness to us as human beings.